Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Jonathan Bennett joins me. We're going to be talking about Magento, the e-commerce platform that you might want to look into. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Jonathan Bennett. Episode 438, recorded June 13th, 2017. Magento. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by GoCD, an on-premise, open-source, continuous delivery server by ThoughtWorks. GoCD gives you complete control of and visibility into your deployments across multiple teams. Since GoCD is open-source, you can download and use it for free. To discover the power of their pipelines, visit gocd.io/twit. And by Bitbucket from Atlassian. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. Start your free account today at bitbucket.org/forthecode. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, merlin@steinage.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, projects you may be using every day and totally unaware of it, like perhaps today's might actually be. And projects you may want to download right after the show and play with. Also, another possibility for today. Joining me again this week is Jonathan Bennett. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Randall. It's good to be here.
Cool. And I think you're speaking to us from that very same room you're always speaking to us from, right?
Yes. Corporate headquarters, the home office here in Lawton, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, my flyover state. I don't think I've ever actually been to Oklahoma. I think I've only flown over it. Well, I'm speaking to you this week from my home in Beaverton, Oregon, and hopefully the net gods will comply and let me finish the show here before anything goes crazy. It's a wonderful gray day here in Portland, just like it was the last two times in Santa Monica. But here it's expected to be gray this time of year. And down there, it was all sort of, they call this June gloom when it was all really horrible. Anyway, this week, great show. We have a great show lined up for you. We are going to be talking about Magento, which is a, I've been calling it shopping cart on steroids, just because, you know, back in the early days of the interwebs, it was all about, you know, all about first just getting things linked back and forth on pages. But then this whole thing called CGI came along and allowed you to have interactive stuff. So you'd have like a form you'd fill out. And I always like to say that, the early versions of that were about go or search or submit or buy. Because one of the main uses for e-commerce back in the day was being able to go through a list of items online and pick out what you like and say go. And entire businesses were born about that. I mean, Amazon started way back then as well. Amazon was all written in Perl. Magento seems to be this sort of thing. It's a shopping cart, but it's more than that. It's also a customer experience. I saw those words somewhere in there. So we'll see how that all works out. It's a customer experience, yes. In terms of, you know, recognizing what I want to buy later, what kind of discounts I might want later, repeat purchases, things like that. Amazon, of course, has this down to a T. Their code was all, like I said, originally in Perl. It looks like this is all in PHP, which is sort of the second language of choice for the interactive web as time went on. Jonathan, what do you know about this?
I know very little about Magento. I've done the research before. A couple of customers mm-hmm. I've had have wanted to build a tiny little shopping cart experience, be able to buy things on a website. And it's been several years now, but my memory of that was there were lots of people, lots of players that claimed to be the king of the market, but none of them had an extremely good grip on it. You know, nothing was really, really convincing. So I'm looking forward to learning about Magento and see if maybe they are the guys to do it.
Yeah, you know, that's always handy too. It's like everybody, of course, wants to self-proclaim. I mean, like I always mm-hmm. proclaimed that I was the leader in Perl training during the dot-com boom. But I know one other organization that would certainly beg to differ. But we never actually sat down and compared numbers. So I was just the leader. That made it simpler that way. So we're going to bring Sherry Rode on in just a moment. But I do have an important message before I bring her on, because This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by GoCD. GoCD is the on-premise, open-source, continuous delivery server created by ThoughtWorks. With GoCD's comprehensive pipeline modeling, you can model complex workflows across multiple teams with ease. GoCD can easily configure dependencies for fast feedback and on-demand deployment with its parallel and sequential execution. It offers complete customization for your software individual needs. GoCD's real power is the visibility it provides over your end-to-end workflow, so you get complete control of and visibility into all your deployments across the organization. It supports auditable deployment and can delegate the configuration of pipelines to users without full-blown admin privileges. GoCD will perform tests written in most languages or frameworks. Their test reporting will tell you in exactly which change set and on which platform a test started breaking. You can compare content across any two arbitrary builds, making it invaluable when troubleshooting a broken pipeline. GoCD has extension points for which plugins can be created, and numerous plugins are available, or you can write your own. Say goodbye to deployment panic and hello to consistent, predictable deliveries. GoCD is open source that you can download and use for free. Discover the power of their pipelines at gocd.io/twit. That's gocd.io/twit. Commercial support and enterprise add-ons, including disaster recovery, are also available. And we thank GoCD for their support of Floss Weekly. And now let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Sherry Rode. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Cool. And where are you speaking to us from?
I am speaking to you from Los Angeles today, actually. This is where Magento actually started here in LA, though it's no longer where our headquarters are, but that's where I am.
Cool. And where are the headquarters then?
Our headquarters are now up in Campbell near San Jose. So we switched, we went through a few ownership changes. And when we spun out of eBay, a year and a half ago, I think it was now, that became our headquarters, because that's where our CEO and a lot of our leadership are.
Oh, no, there's something I didn't know already. So you spun out of eBay. eBay owned you for a while?
Yeah, for 2-3 years, something like that.
Cool. Well, let's back up. Let's go to the 30,000-foot view. When would I reach for Magento? What does it solve?
So Magento is an open source e-commerce platform. So if you're looking for an e-commerce platform where you have full control over the code to do some crazy innovative stuff, it's definitely going to be probably the best platform for you, just because you're not limited to whatever the parent company has implemented as functionality.
And how did this get started?
It was actually started by a company called Varian. Back in 2007 is when they launched the public beta of Magento, but they were using open source for their OS Commerce for their clients, and just got really fed up with it and decided to make their own platform. And it just happened to be good timing, as a lot of other people are in the same place with OS Commerce and ready for a change.
And so did I describe this accurately? This is the kind of thing that you would do if you had goods for sale or services for sale and you wanted to have an online presence. What distinguishes this from the thousands of other solutions that are like that then?
So this is it's an actual e-commerce implementation. So it's not a marketplace like Amazon would have been. It's a full-on store. So there are a lot of like major brands that actually do use us. A lot of fashion brands, a lot of B2B brands, and different industries, different verticals. But we actually have, I think, over 250,000 merchants, and they're significant merchants. They're like on the internet retailer, top 1,000, B2B 500, like pretty significant brands.
Okay, so an e-commerce platform, as I understand it, would have to have some sort of awareness of the inventory and an awareness then of also how to fulfill that, and then also a way to do billing. Can you describe the components of Magento that fulfill that?
Yeah, so it's a full e-commerce platform. So you're going to implement your products into the actual admin panel of it. You can manage inventory there. You can manage the whole entire purchase process for e-commerce. So when someone comes to the site, they see your catalog, they add what they want to the cart, they check out using whichever payment system you're using. Sometimes you're giving them multiple options. And then from there, that comes into you when you get an order and lets you know, so you can fulfill it or work with various systems, various like fulfillment and ERP systems. It integrates with a lot of different other things that businesses may be using.
Yeah, we have a live chat room, and Emily the Strange in the chat room, frequent chat room participants, actually just asked a great question. She says, what does she mean a full-on store? Because Amazon does exactly that and has tons of retailers using them.
So this is if you're going to go to, for example, North Face, or Helly Hansen. If you go to HellyHansen.com, their store is on their URL. It's their brand. You're not using Amazon to use it. They have full control over their code on their wherever they're choosing to host it. And so they actually have the entire platform. They're not using a third party like Amazon. They're using their own installation.
So I wanted to jump in here and ask a couple of questions. Do you guys have support for things like running credit cards, tying into PayPal? How does that work?
Yep, we absolutely. We're partnered with PayPal. They're one of our premier partners, and you can use them for checkout. You can use, I believe, Amazon Pay for checkout. There's actually, I don't even know exactly how many different payment integrations there are, but we have, I know it's a lot. we have an entire marketplace. So marketplace.magento.com is where a lot of third-party extension makers have created extensions to their various shipping clients or payment providers and things like that. So you can choose whichever one it is that you're as a merchant are working with or that your customers are requesting.
So something else that this reminds me of, I know a lot of stores have like a in-store kiosk. And does Magento have support, or could you leverage Magento to also build an in-store kiosk that would tie into the rest of your database and website?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. And then what about point of sale? Because, you know, for a lot of companies, I'm thinking particularly of someone that has brick and mortar, they want all of this to be able to tie together so that their point of sale, you know, talks to the rest of their database and system. Does Magento have any point of sale support?
We do, yes. Yeah, we integrate with that. We don't have our own specifically, though we do have our order commerce order management system that does allow you to manage inventory and everything. But point of sale, like there's a few. I know Epismart's, one of our partners, has one that you can integrate with. And then there's just, because it is open source, you can connect. You just need the code to do it. So you can create connectors to pretty much anything out there.
Okay, interesting. And then what kinds of businesses can run off of Magento? So another couple of examples that I've looked for solutions for in the past. One is a restaurant, and the ability to run a restaurant system is kind of a pain. And then there's even more oddball things like library systems, you know, for being able to check and borrow things out. Is there any way that Magento can work for those kind of niche places, or would it be better to go with a piece of software designed directly for those?
Honestly, I think a lot of times that's where Magento excels, is in the niche, because it's where you can really get in and customize it to do exactly what it is that you need to do. For example, City Winery, I don't know if you're familiar with them, uses Magento, and it's actually a winery and restaurant in the middle of large cities, and they actually use it to manage ticket sales for their events that take place there on site. So there's pretty much a never-ending list of things that you can customize it to do.
That's really interesting. This brings up something that I'm curious about, as you know, I do a lot of open source business work too. What is Magento's, how do you guys make money? What does your business model look like?
So we actually have enterprise licenses for our software. So you can download the community edition for free. And that's cool and everything, but you can also use the enterprise edition, which has additional features. And it also includes support and access to more. We also have our cloud edition. So our cloud edition is more of a platform as a service. So it has the key things set up for you in our cloud instance, and then you still have full access to the code and everything. But that's another avenue. And then We have products like Magento Business Intelligence that gives you better reporting on your metrics, not Google Analytics, but on the actual like business metrics and merchant metrics. And then in addition to that, we've got commerce order management, like I mentioned, with the fulfillment. And we now have Magento Social coming up as well. So there's add-ons, there's additional levels that you can go on top of the base community product. And that's really where we can make money.
So how usable is the community edition by itself? So if I'm say wanting to build my own solution and I'm not interested in paying you guys for any of it, is the community edition really enough to build a usable product on top of?
Oh, definitely. There's hundreds of thousands of stores on the community edition. Yeah.
That's interesting. So what can you give us a little bit more detail about the kind of paid things that you have that sit on top of the community edition?
Sure. So there's different features that are in the paid version that are not in the community version, such as rewards, such as sorry, I'm withdrawing a little bit of mind. Like, I'm not on our sales team, by the way. I work with our community. So I'm probably not the best person to be trying to explain these differences. But again, it comes down to the business intelligence product. It comes down to the MCOM product, down to we're going to have B2B features available on our enterprise product. And so that's where all of those kind of come in. And it's not to say that some of that you can't do by extending the product with third-party extensions, but there's something to be said really for some of it to be in there by default, something that our support team supports. So
I'd actually like to get clarification, because you mentioned you're the community coordinator, but are you talking about the open source community for your product? Or are you talking about the people who build third-party plugins for your product?
Both.
Oh, well, good. We are talking to the right person then. Good. I was just a little worried there for a second. So what am I getting when I'm downloading this? And how much work do I have to put in if I'm using the open source version of it and I want to, say, just have a simple, like sell T-shirts online? How much work is that going to be?
It depends on how much customization you want to do. You'll need to add a custom theme. I'm assuming that you don't want to use the default theme, though it is there. And then you'll need to figure out your payment providers and get that set up, your shipping providers and get that set up. It's a decent amount of work if you want a solid store that's customized to you, but it's not a huge obstacle. There is a learning curve to learning Magento, especially if you don't know PHP, because it's built on PHP. But it really depends on what level of customization that you want to do.
Okay, and so these are all the standard questions I would have with any e-commerce platform. So does Magento make any of this simpler than other platforms? I'm trying to see why this is popular. Is it popular because other people are using it? That makes it popular. Somebody else wants to use it? Or is it popular because there's some differentiation in this platform?
It's popular because it attracts innovators, right? Because you can do what you want with it. On top of that, we have an ecosystem of over 100,000 developers around the world. I forget exactly how many extensions, but there are people actively using our software globally. So we have events in over 30 countries. A lot of them are actually organized by our community, and then we attend and support them where we can. Actually, I just got back from one of them in Italy yesterday, so that was a lot of fun. But it's this community that you have access to is really what makes Magento stand out. We had like over 1,100 contributors last year contributing to the code, contributing to the documentation, creating conferences and meetups, writing books, creating podcasts. They're so interactive with each other and so willing to support each other and help other people learn along the way.
Well, that's really amazing then. So so clearly some of the development of Magento is being done in-house. But
correct.
Do you have a sense of how much of the commits have come from outside and actually in the community?
I don't know as far as percentage, but one of the initiatives that we spun up this last year is our community engineering team. And they actually work with the community contributors to help process those pull requests. They're training actually other community members to be maintainers so that they can help process the pull requests as well. So Magento One, actually, we didn't have available like on GitHub in a way that you could easily contribute. So there's a bit of a bigger barrier to contributions, whereas Magento 2 is fully on GitHub, and that makes it easier for the community to actually contribute to the code and to the core, which is really great. And then, as you mentioned, of course, there's a lot of work. Probably the majority of the work is done by our team on the core, and then the community contributes different bug fixes, issues, or pull requests, things they want to see. So,
and the code, I think, is still owned by the Magento corporation, though, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I stumbled across something that I was a little bit almost disturbed by, but let me see if I can find it here. It's this phrase. It was on the dev docs, Magento dev docs. Says, if you clone the Magento 2 GitHub repository, you cannot use the Magento software in a production environment. You cannot have a live store that accepts orders and so on. What does that mean?
That is a good question.
Stumping the community coordinator
that
about something that's on her own website.
That would have been a good one to ask me about beforehand if you wanted an answer.
No, that scares me. It's like, wait, so I have to actually I can only just install the zip file that's provided, but I can't actually install master on the GitHub? That doesn't make any sense from an open source perspective. But if I've stumped you, I'm sorry. Okay, we'll move on to another question then.
There's multiple ways to install Magento 2. The most common one is actually using Composer. But no, you don't have to use the zip file. Absolutely not. Most people, I would say, don't for Magento 2.
Oh, so what is Composer? I saw that, and I don't know what it is.
Composer is it makes it easier for you to set up your environment and to update packages and to update the Magento installation and everything. It's not us. It's another company. But we use it as well as I think several other companies out there.
Oh, and we actually have a question from the chat room that's related to that. So one of the problem, PC Guy 8088, obviously, and there's only a few people in my audience that will recognize that number means, but I do, actually. One problem with shopping carts in security and vulnerabilities is security and vulnerabilities and updates and patches, especially dealing with third-party add-ons. Has the products or add-ons been audited or verified by independent third-party security researchers?
Yep, so we actually have a full bug bounty program for our security for the actual platform itself. And then now with our marketplace where the extensions are, if you're getting them from us, they've been through pretty significant code testing to make sure that those vulnerabilities aren't there.
And also, as a small business owner, I'm trying to think, so if I'm setting up a store and I'm selling things, I have to have some sort of way to get paid. So that involves merchant accounts. Are there easy to use merchant accounts these days? And are Magento users typically flocking to a few common ones, or is it just whoever they manage to come together with?
Yeah, I know several of them use like PayPal and Braintree, for example, to manage payments. Beyond that, a lot of it depends regionally. We find that there's a lot of significant payment providers in different regions. So it really depend on like which region you're talking about. And I'm really not going to know those off the top of my head. But yes, if you go to marketplace.magento.com, you can see what a lot of the main payment providers are there.
So a couple of your questions or of your answers to our questions, it makes me think that Magento is trying to move in a more open direction. Even you talked about how that it wasn't available on GitHub, and now you've pushed it out on GitHub. You mentioned something about training community members to be able to accept pull requests. I guess let's start with that. Does that mean that the plan is to give some of the community members commit access to the GitHub repo?
I believe that they can with the pull requests. They can accept them and merge them in. I don't know then what process that goes through before it hits the actual main code, because I assume it then needs to be tested with everything else. That would actually be Max from our team manages that. He's our director of community engineering, and him and his team are all developers and engineers from our core team. architects and engineers from our core team that are now working with the community to help that. So they're actually going around also to some of these conferences I mentioned and holding contribution days where they're teaching people how to contribute to the core in a way that is tested, in a way that will get accepted.
So is it accurate to say that Magento is intentionally moving in a more open direction?
Yes. Yep.
Is there any history you can share with us about, you know, how that decision was made?
We realize that it's, you know, the innovation and the openness are huge areas that make us distinct and that make us stand out. And so because of that, like all the way up to our CEO really recognizes and values our community. And we listen to them and we get this feedback and just see how we can really use that in alignment with the company to make the product easier to use, easier to access, easier to customize for everyone. So.
Excellent. One of the things that, again, that I've worked on in the past is someone will have a website built in Joomla or WordPress. Is there integration between Magento and some of these other tools? How do they work together? How do they play together?
Yep. So there is. People use Magento and Joomla together, Magento and WordPress together, though I definitely not recommend using the same database for them for sure. And then we also, a lot of people use Magento and Drupal together. So we actually now have a partnership with Acquia, and they're working on an official connector between Drupal and Magento.
So you guys have recently gone from Magento 1 to Magento 2. If someone has a now legacy Magento 1 install, are there tools? Is there a way to transition from one to the other?
There are some migration tools available, yes, for the database and some other things as well. But for themes, those pretty much have to be completely rebuilt just because the whole structure of Magento 2 for our front end is very different than it was for our Magento 1. We implemented a few more modern technologies, and it just there's no good way to convert your theme over. But as far as migrating products, as far as migrating your database and everything, that much is possible, yes.
Interesting. I know we've mentioned that it's based on PHP. Is Magento Apache only, or does it support Nginx and Node.js? Probably not Node.js, I don't suppose. But what does the backend look like?
I don't know that answer off the top of my head. Again, product person would probably be better to talk to for that. I work predominantly with our community, so I'm more focused around our community programs to help those contributors get involved, help connect them with each other and our company, help connect them with different resources. And that's really my area of expertise with Magento. So as far as all of those specific technologies, I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, understood. Sometimes I get lost down in the nuts and bolts, and I lose track of the forest, to mix my metaphors there.
So I'm always happy to find those answers for you. I just don't know them live on air right now.
Yes, well, looking up answers in Google doesn't really work for the live show format so well. Let's talk a little bit more about community events then. What happens? How do these events work? What's the purpose of them? Tell us a little bit more about what someone could expect at a community event.
Sure. So there's different types of them. So we organize our big conference, Imagine. It's our global conference that takes place in Vegas every year, and that brings together about 3,000 people, merchants, solution integrators, extension providers, quite a variety, actually. And then from there, we also have our Magento Live events, where we bring that more regionally to places like Paris and London and Sydney. And we were just in Bangalore. And then from there, you also have our community events. So our community organizes a series called Meet Magento that we're partnered with. And they're bringing Magento to several different countries around the world. And each of these events that I've mentioned so far really have both a developer track and a business track. And so no matter which area of the business you're focused on, you can come and find information that's tailored to you. And then in addition to that, there's a developer focus series that the community has created called Mage Titans. I was just at one of their events in Italy last week. And then they have an unconference series as well. And then on a much smaller scale, there's also the meetups that happen monthly around the world. So
you mentioned all these different countries that you're doing things in. So does does Magento have very does it have good internationalization support?
Yes, largely from our community and our partners who are using it. We try to create the building blocks for them to do that with, and I know that that's something that we are working on as more of a localization project that makes it easier for them to build on the localization around the world. But there's so many good partners and companies out there who have localized it for their area. For example, we have a huge user base both in Germany and in the Netherlands. And really, they started building community, I would say, even before the company started building community. Their conferences predate ours.
Cool. Hey, we'll have a lot more questions, but right after this, because this episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Bitbucket. Let's be honest, your code is your world. You create it, tweak it, and lovingly obsess over it every day. So picking the right repository management tool is super important. Only the best for your code, right? That's why the team of Atlassian created Bitbucket. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. It helps over 5 million developers build with a purpose. Bitbucket gives teams of all sizes free private repositories with state-of-the-art features. The world's best pull request algorithm. Pull requests facilitate code reviews. Collaborate right on the code with inline comments, threaded conversations, and mentions, and built-in continuous delivery. Branch permissions help prevent errors by controlling the actions users can perform. Get granular permissions at the project, repository, or branch level. And integrations with your favorite tools like Docker, AWS, and Azure. Because Bitbucket comes from Atlassian, it offers the best Jira integration available, giving your team everything you need to take your code from concept to customer. More than 900,000 teams love Bitbucket. It's used by companies like Ford, PayPal, Starbucks, and Pandora. It's the only collaborative Git solution that massively scales. Bitbucket is for the code that takes us to Mars, decodes the human genome, or drives your next car. Visit bitbucket.org/forthecode to start your free account. That's bitbucket.org/forthecode. Try Bitbucket today. What will your code do? And we thank Bitbucket for their support of this show. And so now I'm curious now. So you mentioned creating themes. Is this something that has been done over and over again in the community, so I can just download other people's themes instead of having to do this all from scratch?
Yeah, absolutely, you can. Most of the larger merchants don't do that because they all want to have their unique look and feel, but there are definitely themes out there that you can download, whether for free or for purchase, much like with Joomla, with WordPress, with other systems out there.
Okay, so again, I'm just trying to figure out, so I've downloaded this code, I've put my inventory in. Oh, what databases do you support?
It works with MySQL.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm asking. I'm a techie guy by heart, so of course I'm asking the techie questions. But I'm trying to think of.
I was told we're talking the community questions. So.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have communicated that better to the person I was working with. But no. So let's talk about more about the community then. That'll be cool. So you have this huge user base. And internationalization. So obviously, is it being used in other languages? Is there must be good support for internationalization?
Yeah. So like we were just mentioning, there's a localization project in the works, but the community has internationalized the platform in several languages. We have people in Japan using it. We have people in Germany, in the Netherlands, in Spain, literally all over the world there are people using this. So we actually have certified developers on 6 out of 7 continents. So I always joke that now we just need to teach the penguins how to Magento so we can get the 7th one there in Antarctica. But it's very, very it's not always – it depends on what you're trying to do with it, but the building blocks are there to bring it internationally. So,
and is this generally used standalone or maybe as part of a larger website? I'm trying to think of how, you know, this is the e-commerce part of something, but is this ever sort of like embedded with the rest of the customer experience on a website?
It can be, or you can use just Magento. It has CMS capabilities. We just acquired a community extension called Bluefoot that we'll actually use to expand the CMS capabilities in an upcoming version. So absolutely, you can use it just for a full install. You don't need a separate platform for the rest of your site, depending on what you're trying to do.
And since version 2 was the first version that it was open source, was there any sort of what you would call a community with version 1?
Yeah, no, absolutely. People did contribute to Magento 1, and the code was open source. There was just not an easy way to contribute to the core with Magento 1. It was not on GitHub, but that didn't mean that the code wasn't accessible and open.
And the code that's actually on GitHub, is that the live repo that the internal developers are using as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so this means that I can see the progress you're making, moving towards changes, goals. Is the roadmap published there as well?
No, the roadmap is not published there. That's something we're working towards, but not something that's really visible at the moment. So there's major themes that we talk through and have a roadmap that in those regards that we share with our partners and data events, but there's not actually a published one.
So this still seems to be, as my good friend Simon Phipps, who couldn't join us today, but he's a little tied up, but it still seems to be sort of this odd mix between we kind of want to have an open source thing and so we can call it open source, but really our heads are further up in the clouds and dealing with the commercial side of it. Is there any reason you don't just make your entire product open source?
You know, it's a balance. It's something you have to figure out in the fact that we are still owned by a company, right? So it's not just run by the community. We have our own team of developers and everything as well. So it makes things a little bit more complicated for sure. We're also always looking for ways to improve, but it's a little different than an open source product out there that's not backed by a company.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about these community events, because I think those actually sound fun. You guys must have a party at the end of one of the nights, right?
Of course.
And so what are those parties?
Without a party, right?
Yeah, I know. I've thrown some of those parties, so I know. Yes. So what's the most unusual party location you've had for one of these events?
Well, the Meet Magento Germany party actually takes place in like this underground venue, which is pretty cool. It's all in brick and has these archways, and it's pretty interesting place. So that's been really cool. We've also had parties in like the City Winery venue that I mentioned before, which is a pretty interesting location. Sure. We've had them in various ballrooms. Like it just depends on where you are, but yeah, they're always really interesting, and it's neat to see. It's neat to see different countries add their culture to the party and add that perspective as well.
I wanted to jump in with a question or two myself. I think it was just recently Magento 2 was released. Do you guys have an idea yet of the life cycle of Magento 2? Is there a Magento 3 already on the horizon?
Not currently. So we've announced Magento 2.2 is targeted for Q3, I believe, of this year. And that will have B2B in it, as well as several other things that people have been waiting on. And then it's actually going into public alpha soon. There's a webinar, I think, this week or next week, where people can join in and find out how to get involved in the alpha and everything. And then Magento 2.3 will follow that. But no, we haven't discussed Magento 3 at this point. There's a bit of a joke with it in the community, and some of them claim to be Magento 3 certified, of course, but no.
Lots of companies have problems with their third product, you know, Half-Life 3, Portal 3, et cetera. Is there a – yes, I went there.
Skip to Magento 4? Is that what you're saying?
I guess, or, you know, just forever sit on 2 and yes, 3 is coming sometime. So what about tracking? Do you guys support things like third-party tracking? When someone's looking for an item. So, for example, when you Google something, you will then see ads for that item on every other website that you go to. Do you guys have any tools to do things like that?
Yeah, you can integrate with third-party extensions that do that. A lot of that's done with just Google Ads, and you can integrate with Google for sure.
Okay, interesting. And then about what is the cadence between your point releases? You said 2.3 was about to come out. How often do those point releases happen?
And the larger point releases are fairly spread out. With Magento 2, we have smaller point releases that are things like security fixes and things of that nature that come out a little bit more regularly. But Magento 2.1 came out in 2.0 was November of 2015. 2.1 was, I think, last summer, and then 2.2 is coming out Q3 of this year. So the larger point releases are fairly spread out right now.
Okay, I've been instructed that I am to mention that that last question about tracking, that was from Emily the Strange in the chat room. I didn't mean to steal her question. I'm sorry, Emily. Okay, I think Randall actually had one or two more questions, and then of course there's a few that he gets berated if he doesn't ask every time. So back to Randall if he's ready for it.
Yeah, I'm ready. It's good. Actually, I did want to ask, what does the name come from? What does Magento mean?
So actually, funny enough, so Varian, their company color was magenta, and this was before T-Mobile copyrighted the color. And so they actually wanted to do magentacommerce.com, and the URL was taken, so they went with magentocommerce.com. And originally the Magento logo was a little bit of a play off of their logo, and it held that magenta color until T-Mobile decided no one else could use that color, so now we're orange. But that's right.
You can't trademark a color. Come on. Yeah, that's just crazy.
Take that up with T-Mobile and whoever let them do it.
I know that weird pink is everywhere. I totally understand that. So we're almost out of time.
Our community now says they bleed orange, so it works well.
yeah. We're getting down to the end of the show, and we're almost out of time, but I do want to actually ask, is there anything that we haven't asked yet? I was looking over the list of questions you sent me. Is there anything we haven't asked that you want to make sure our audience is aware of before we have to let you go?
My pet project actually is Magento Masters, which is our top contributor program. So definitely I'd love to just mention that we built that out.
Sure.
This is our second round of Masters. And that's been a really fun way to really highlight the top contributors across the world in our ecosystem, and really recognize them even on stage at our events, as well as get them involved a little bit more in internal conversations where we can too. So.
Cool. So you could be a master at Magento and get credit for it. That's pretty cool. Anything else or is that it? it's more
the other thing that I really largely work with is our forums, which you can go to community.magento.com to interact with the community there, ask any questions that you have, look for answers. There's also magento.stackexchange.com if you prefer that format. Then, as I mentioned briefly earlier, I work with meetup organizers around the world too, to kind of help support them to share our brand, because that's all something that they're doing on their own. But it's something that definitely we are happy to support where we can, just because it's great that they're doing it.
Cool. Well, I actually have a question that I should have asked at the top of the show, which is, what's your background that brought you to being what you're doing for Magento?
Well, despite my stammering at some of your technical questions, my background is as a developer.
what language?
I don't have time for that anymore. I actually started with Magento as a developer back when it was in public beta in 2007, and became a forum moderator, ended up working for some of our partners, extension providers and solution integrators, and now I work at Magento itself. So it's been a fun journey. My background is in front end development. So.
Wow! So it's sort of like me, actually. I'm the Perl expert in the world, and I probably have written no more than 5 lines of Perl code in the last year. So it's like, wow, you know. But because I do all the other things instead now, I'm doing a lot of training, doing this show, with varying levels of skill and other things as well. Well, then I do have to ask my two questions. And we were actually discussing this in the chat room for a second. What's your favorite scripting language?
My favorite scripting language, you know, most of my experience has really been with PHP, to be honest. Of it's been through Magento, so I really haven't used a lot beyond that, just because I dove right into the Magento world and haven't found my way out.
Yes. And then what's the text editor you spend, used to spend all day in?
Coda, actually, is what I use the most for coding.
I don't even know what Coda is. Is that a Windows thing?
No, it's a Mac thing, actually. I forget who it's by, but one of my dev friends got me introduced to it. It was around the same time that Sublime started to become popular, but I just preferred Coda, so I stuck with it.
Well, that makes sense. It's funny. I use a Mac every day, and I'd never heard of Coda. But then again, I'm an Emacs guy, and I just launch an Emacs window, and I'm happy all day. So that's enough for me. Okay. Hey, it's been really great chatting with you. More people are now going to be aware of Magento that weren't before, although it sounds like you have a pretty huge community anyway. So hopefully they'll be happy with this show and not annoyed with the way we asked you questions today. But
well, I'm always happy to answer other questions. My Twitter name is my name, Sherry Rohde, so it's easy to find me.
Awesome. Well, that'll be great then. But thank you for coming on the show today and talking about Magento.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Cool. That was Sherry Rohde talking to us about Magento and trying to answer our ultimately stumping questions. Jonathan, what do you think?
Oh, that's funny. It's always fun and interesting when a show like this comes together where we're thinking about it across purposes.
Almost comes together.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Magento does sound interesting. And if I'm ever in a position where I need to do a shopping cart or than a shopping cart, a full platform for someone, I'll definitely take a look at it. I was very impressed. I was encouraged that they are intentionally making steps towards making the project more open. Because, you know, we saw some things preparing for the show that were a little worrying, like that quote that you found on their website about pulling things from GitHub. It seems like they're kind of they're stuck in an in-between state where they've come from, you know, what we could call the cathedral model, where they built it internally and just released source code for people to look at and gotten. Sure. Then they started getting some contributions back into it. And now they're moving more towards let's actually do everything out in the open. And I think it's interesting. It feels like we've caught them in between where they haven't quite made it to their final form. So it'll be interesting to watch to see what happens with it in the future.
When the caterpillars become butterflies, they are so amazing. Yes. And this is one in front of us actually happening that way, which is nice. And I think this is probably the right time to have had them on the show then too, because, you know, as you explore the relationship you can have with an open source community, you do discover a lot of power out there, a lot of like the independent pull requests, the people building things that you would never have imagined. And also that, you know, customizing it and bringing it to connect deeper with things that you would not have been able to pay the right people internally to do. And I think this is something that more and more companies keep discovering. I mean, we've had 435 of them on this show. So I know that this is the kind of thing that when people discover and start harnessing the power of open source, and I mean open source from top to bottom, you know, the value added, I hope they eventually move to this. The value added is that they'll provide platform as a service, customization, ultimate direction, that sort of thing. And there's value in that alone. And many companies have discovered that who are actually doing open source from top to bottom. Look at what Red Hat's doing or any other big companies like that, or any, like I said, any one of the guests we've had on here. that's the kind of thing. So I'm happy that they're moving in this direction. And it's going to be cool to see. I might check in on them in 5 years from now if I'm still doing the show, if they haven't canceled me by then. maybe we'll check in on them and see, did they actually move to a full open source solution? That would be a good opportunity, a good challenge, and a good thing to have attempted. Anything else before I go through the upcoming guests?
No, I think that's it for me.
Okay, good, good. All right, let's do it. Let's do the rundown of all the upcoming guests because we have a huge set of talent, a huge set of talent. Okay, so small hands. Anyway, we go. Coming up next week, I am so looking forward to this show next week. Flutter. Flutter builds fast cross-platform mobile apps in Dart, iOS, and Android. I actually, for the first time, installed Flutter on my laptop yesterday, and I built an iOS app, ran it in the simulator, changed the background color. Hey, you might think, well, that's nothing. But no, I changed it on the code and immediately changed on my screen. So Flutter does this thing called hot reload, which means you can develop apps, you drill way down into the app and something's wrong, you fix it in the code and it only sends over the pieces that it needs to change, but all the state remains the same. So you can develop from there. It's so cool. It's so cool. Actually, I met with the Google people who are responsible for evangelizing Flutter yesterday, and that's the reason I installed it finally. And we're going to be talking to the Flutter developers next week, which is great. Cockpit administers your Linux system via the web. Redis, which is the most popular in-memory key value store out there. Hyperledger, which is a blockchain technology from the Linux Foundation. Blockchains are all the cool rage, of course, for public ledgers and public Bitcoin would be an example of that, people trading money based on public ledger. Jenkins, which is the leading CI/CD server. Containership, cross-platform deploying and managing containers. The guys from allthingsopen.org, which is a open source conference that's been running for 5 years now, are going to be talking about their show. It's in the Research Triangle somewhere, I think, over there somewhere. LibreOffice. They were on the show 5 years ago, but a lot has happened since then, so we're going to talk to them about that. We're going to get an update on Kazoo, which is the cloud telephony. We've had them on a couple times, but like 5 years ago, so this is great that we're bringing them back. The Hiawatha web server, which is a security-focused web server. And just added to the schedule, we have Crail, which is a high-performance storage and networking for these really high speed applications that do a lot of heavy calculations, just added to the schedule. So we still have a bunch of empty slots. So you can go to twit.tv/floss, which is the homepage for this show, and see what we still have or what we're still talking to. If there's somebody that you want to be on the show and isn't yet on that list, please have them email me, merlin@stonehenge.com, and I will take care of that. We do have a live stream. We are at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, usually Tuesdays at live.twit.tv. And we did take a couple questions from the audience. Thank you for the people who are participating there. Esol and Emily Strange comes to mind right now. But we are moving to Wednesdays starting on June 28th. So the next week is the last Tuesday, and then we're going to move to Wednesday after that. Follow us at Floss Weekly on Google Plus or at Floss Weekly on Twitter. You can follow me at Randall L. Schwartz on Google Plus or also at Merlin on Twitter. I will be at the Pearl Conference next week. That's in D.C. area. So if you're in the D.C. area, please watch my tweets, and I'll be telling you where I'm at and when and why. Why? I don't know. Can we fit a why into 140 characters? There's somebody who thinks they can. Anyway, DragonCon in September, and then allthingsopen.org in October. That's all I have to plug. Jonathan, you want to plug anything?
No, my traveling time is over for a while now. it'll be a few months before anything else gets back on the schedule. So I'm staying at home for a while.
Yeah, I've got an hour and a half drive lined up for right after this show, heading out to the coast, hanging out there for a couple days again. Hopefully, good weather. It looks like it's slightly blue out there, so a little bit of blue, a little bit of gray. So hopefully, it'll be a little more blue when I get to there. That'll be fun. Jonathan, thanks for stepping in and helping me out to do this show. I always appreciate it when I have a lovely and talented co-host, and no exception there. So that's cool.
Yep, my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Thank you, and we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.